What is an aha moment, and do you recognize them when they happen to you? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of the Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about aha moments. Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So, when I was putting the content for this podcast together, I did a little bit of research. Some of you know exactly what I mean when I say an aha moment. Some of you, maybe not so much. Another way of saying aha might be Eureka. Yosemite Sam from the cartoons, Eureka. And when I was looking up the basis for that terminology, Eureka, I learned this morning that Eureka comes from an ancient Greek word meaning I found it, right? So whether you say Eureka, there's gold in the hills, or aha, Eureka, I found it. Found it or discovering it, meaning a connection in a way that you have not experienced before. So a lot of times if you think of our brains, we have these little firestorms rolling all the time, all these little thunderstorms, these little electrical impulses that are going, wow, that's a new idea over here, and a little thundercloud that says, wow, that's a new little thought and a new little concept over here, and it lights up, right? So different parts of your brain are lighting up like a little lightning storm. And every once in a while, you'll have an idea that connects a couple of these dispersed ideas or these maybe compartmentalized ideas, right? So you've got a little lightning storm on the left and a little lightning storm on the right, and then all of a sudden, an idea or thought or concept comes in and connects those two ideas together, and all of a sudden, you've got a bigger lightning storm. Aha! It's a way of looking at something that you've never noticed it before. It's a way of thinking about something that you've never thought about it before. Aha moments happen. If you're a fortunate person, you've had some really good aha moments that make you go, oh man, I love the way that that lights up my brain, or oh man, that makes me think about something in a whole new way. Aha moments, as defined by Merriam-Webster, is a moment of sudden realization, inspiration, insight, recognition, or comprehension. Okay, it's a new way of looking at something. It's a big, beautiful download. I'm pretty sure we've all had at least one aha moment in our life. But what's interesting is when we think about aha moments, I think we all expect them to be earth shakers. I think we expect them to be, oh man, that just rattled me to my core. And sometimes beautiful aha moments are little. So I'm going to use a little analogy here. Anybody that knows me knows I love analogies. I want you to think about a pastry chef and the pastry chef's use of sugar. So any good pastry chef will tell you there are recipes when a cup of sugar would be appropriate. There are recipes where a teaspoon of sugar is called for, and then other times when a sprinkle of sugar is all you need. And in most cases in baking, it would be detrimental to the recipe to interchange a teaspoon of sugar for a sprinkle of sugar or a cup of sugar. So we can logically say, okay, our taste buds already know this, but when it comes to expectations around aha moments, I'm going to bring it back around to aha moments, expectations around aha moments or learning something new, sometimes we get this wrong. So I was teaching a class one Saturday afternoon. Anybody that doesn't know me knows, they wouldn't know that I teach a lot of classes on Saturdays. So I was teaching a class one Saturday afternoon, and I had a variety of students in my class. And it really doesn't matter what the topic is, because it would apply, honestly, to any mentor or teacher or coach discussing any topic on any given day. So within my class, I had some students who were really, really familiar with the content that I was teaching. other students who had never heard any of the concepts I was talking about, and a whole bunch of people somewhere in the middle. So there were some people in the class that were hanging on my every word, having aha moment after aha moment. And there were others who grabbed a new perspective or a new concept, but they weren't quite having that earth-shattering experience that their clenched-chesting neighbor was having. And then amidst these two extremes, there were people in the middle, right, nodding, connecting and relating to new ideas. In other words, there were people in my class getting a cup of sugar. There were people in my class getting a teaspoon of sugar while the rest were getting a sprinkle. So the point that I'd like to make here in this podcast is every single student in my class was getting exactly what his or her recipe called for. Okay. All right. A cup of sugar is wonderful unless it's not. If we're making cookies, a cup of sugar makes sense. If we're making a cup of tea, a cup of sugar would be ridiculous. But we live in a world where we expect every lecture, every lesson, every class, every meditation, every experience, every moment to be a cup of sugar moment. And I know that we all love those huge ahas, and we love those major downloads, and we love those holy cow experiences, and we love big mind-blowing ideas. And while these cup of sugar moments are wonderful, and oftentimes they change the course of our lives, they can't fill up every moment because it would be too much. We need the teaspoon and sprinkle moments as well. So while the cup of sugar moments can rock us to our core, they can provide channel-changing realizations, the teaspoon of sugar moments provide clarity. The teaspoon of sugar moments provide tweaks and support, while the sugar sprinkles provide confirmation. And they are all enjoyable in their own way. They are all necessary, and they all have their place in our lives. So we are obviously now connecting aha moments and the size of the aha moments to sugar, okay? To sugar in a recipe. And the point that I would like to make is they're all appropriate in their own way at their own time. Okay, so my husband and I went to a lecture about 14 years ago. And that particular lecture was a cup of sugar moment for both me and my husband. Our pencils were writing furiously in our notepads. We were on fire. We were having life-changing realizations that made us reevaluate the way that we did just about everything. Okay. We had a cup of sugar day for sure. So we decided to take some close friends to that same lecture a couple of years later, and we watched our friends have cup of sugar moments. And in that moment, while we're watching our friends writing feverishly in their notepad with their pens, my husband and I were having a sugar sprinkle moment. We'd already heard the content before. We had already kind of integrated these big concepts into our lives. And so my husband and I weren't having a cup of sugar moment. We were having sprinkles. But the point that I want to make is, and here's where I want to, this is the big reason I'm doing this podcast. No part of us, no part of my husband and I, no part of us said, we already know this, so it's a waste of time. We already know this, it's a waste of money. Or, I'm past this. Inevitably, we both heard things that were said in a slightly different way that helped us to understand the concept a little bit better. We got a nice refresher. But we also enjoyed the conversation and sharing lunch, right? We had an opportunity to share our experience with our friends who were, you know, cup of sugar moment going, oh my gosh. We had the opportunity to share with them through the experience of our material. We have known this information for a while, and it made the conversation very rich, okay? So the point I'm making is, there's nothing wrong with a sprinkle of a teaspoon or a sprinkle of sugar. There's nothing wrong with it. And it's really, really important, I think, to stay humble in your learning. Meaning, if you're sitting next to someone who's going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Oh my gosh, this is great. That's wonderful. Do you remember being that person? Do you remember being the one that was having your lid blown off going, oh my gosh, this is awesome? So we don't want to degradate their experience by saying, oh, well, I already know this. Yeah, I've already heard this. This is old news. We want to, first of all, join in on the fun and remember, gosh, that was fun. I remember being that excited to hear this. And also tune in for our own experience and say, okay, there's that's a new way of thinking about it. I actually really like that. Don't degrade the moment. Don't degrade a sprinkle of sugar moment for not being a cup of sugar. Okay. All right. Now, going back to our lecture scenario, we were audience members in that moment. My husband and I were audience members, and then we brought friends who were audience members, and we were looking at the whole thing through our eyes. On the flip side, some of us won't be the ones watching the lecture. Some of us will be the ones giving the lecture, be it in a small classroom, a boardroom, or a huge auditorium. We have to remind ourselves that our audience is going to be filled with people whose recipes are all calling for something different. We can't expect to have everyone jumping up and down while screaming with delight. It wouldn't be appropriate. And this is a really important thing to remind ourselves of so that we don't get discouraged with audience members or attendees or students who are just sitting quietly in their seat. It's okay. They're getting a sprinkle, and a sprinkle is great. We don't need to change everyone's channel right now. So if we can take a moment to understand this concept, be it from an audience perspective or from a coaching perspective or from a teacher perspective, it's important to understand we ourselves are always having either a cup of sugar, teaspoon of sugar, or sprinkle of sugar moments. And if we are the one presenting material, we need to understand that our audience is going to be filled with all kinds of people in those three categories. So I had a client who is presenting. She has a job that puts her in front of people, and sometimes it's a small group of people and sometimes it's a large group of people. And I remember her asking me looking to see if I could shed some light on one of her situations, which was she had a few people in her audience that were going nuts and a few people who were just sitting there and politely staring at her or watching her, and she was fixated on the people who were not jumping up and down. She was trying to get them. She was trying to turn them. She was trying to get them to, you know, go from having a sprinkle of sugar to having a cup of sugar. And what I would say is, and she was finding herself discouraged. And it was that out of that conversation that this whole idea was born about the cup of sugar, teaspoon of sugar, and sprinkle of sugar, because she was so fixated on making sure that everybody was having a cup of sugar moment that she wasn't understanding and honoring the fact that that shouldn't be the case in the first place. It's not for us to worry about what somebody receives. It's not for us to worry about what somebody expects. It's not for us to worry about what somebody else gets. They're going to get what they're going to get, no more, no less. And we need to treat the group harmoniously and trust. That's the big word, trust. That everyone's getting what they're getting. That everybody is getting exactly what they need. Otherwise, you will find yourself working overtime to overplease somebody who's not jumping up and down and screaming, and therefore ignore the ones who are there having their aha, their big aha moments. So, one of the things that I had mentioned to her after kind of describing that the audience needs to be full of different people needing and requiring different things based on where they are in their life, how much they can hear right now, and know and trust that they're going to get exactly what they need. It's not your job to cater to every single audience member. Speak to the group as a whole. Speak to the group as a whole and trust some people are going to get a little and some people are going to get a lot. Now, if you are an audience member, you don't need to fake a cup of sugar moment. If you're just getting a sprinkle, take your sprinkle and be satisfied. Take your sprinkle and go, that was a really cool way of looking at that. I've never heard it explained like that before. That validates this other thing that I was thinking. Or that ties in nicely with this conversation I was having yesterday. Yeah, that's cool. That in and of itself is a great little aha moment. It's not rock you to your core, but it's still really valuable. Because the more that we can tie our ideas and our concepts together, the more that we can take these what seem to be dispersed ways of looking at life and connect them, even with a little aha moment, the more synthesis we're going to get, the more we're going to be able to understand things from a slightly different perspective and therefore be able to communicate it in a slightly different way to a different kind of audience. So it's important for us to understand this, okay, little aha, medium-sized aha, big aha, or sprinkle of sugar, teaspoon of sugar, cup of sugar. It will help us not only with our expectations as audience members if we are presenting or teaching or lecturing, it will help us give the audience permission to do, give the audience permission to be and accept whatever they can. On one side of the sugar cube, it will help us to appreciate every single moment when we're the student and not look at anything being beneath us or a waste of time or a waste of money. We'll stop chasing that one perfect meditation. How many times have I had a meditation client? They just happened to have one gorgeous meditation and it knocked their socks off and they got, you know, connection after connection after connection after download and everything. They looked at the world differently after that one meditation. So then, of course, in their mind, they're saying, that's what every meditation needs to look like. I have just now set the bar for meditation. And I say, whoa. That's not fair to you because you're going to be chasing that one perfect meditation for the rest of your life. And that stinks because that happened to be a cup of sugar meditation. And there's nothing wrong with a sprinkle of sugar meditation. There are plenty of meditations that you're going to have where all you were able to do, all you were able to take, all you were able to make out of that meditation was lowering your heart rate for 15 minutes. And I'm sorry, but that is a big deal. So we need to make sure that we're not chasing the big cup of sugar all the time. If we stop chasing that one perfect meditation that we have that we had last year, and we just enjoy the sprinkle of the sugar sprinkle one that we're having right now, it's a big, big deal. It's going to help us be more present. It's going to help us be more appreciative and trust. I got exactly what I needed. I trust that I got exactly what I needed. If you learn one new small thing, or if you have one beautiful small experience as a result of that quiet moment, it's perfect. It's perfect. It was absolutely worth my attention in just breathing and being still and appreciate being calm and appreciate a little bit of silence. Now, on the flip side, it will help us to appreciate that every teaching moment will be unique and exactly what the student needs. Okay? Your ego is going to want everyone to have a fireworks show. Your ego is going to say, dang it, I didn't get that girl in the back. Okay, well, but you got a wonderful reaction from a handful of people on the left side of the room. So don't worry about the fireworks that everybody is or isn't having. It will remind us that everyone is in a different place. And that's good, by the way. It's okay that our information is being received differently because, quite frankly, it should be. And it will also help us to remember that every moment in life is a moment to learn, enjoy, reflect, tweak, reiterate, reinforce, or absolutely change everything. If you had cup of sugar moment after cup of sugar moment after cup of sugar moment, there would be so much change coming your way that you might go, okay, I think I need to slow down just a little bit. Because those big cup of sugar moments also inspire a lot of motivated shifting and switching and changing. And we need to understand that there's nothing wrong with the tweaking and the fine tuning and the getting the picture to come in a little bit more clearly and validation. So for all of us who feel like every moment is supposed to be life-shattering, life-changing, just remember that usually with that big life-changing aha stuff, it requires a lot of shifting and moving in your personal world. And we all know how much we can sometimes resist change. So it's important to just keep that in perspective. Not only that, if you find yourself in a room, whether it's in a meditation or a class or a lecture or a presentation, if you're the audience member, allow yourself to take the little grains of sugar, those, even if that's all you get, it was one or two little grains of sugar. Don't look at what it's not. Don't say, oh, that sort of fell flat for me. I didn't get anything out of it, because basically you're looking at what was missing. And that in and of itself is a bad habit to get into from a vibrational perspective. If you are constantly looking at what you didn't get, it's a channel of what else am I not getting? And you will start to set your filters to what am I missing, or what am I disappointed about, or what am I lacking? It's not a good filter to set in your awareness, because as you know, filters are important. So I will give you another little example. So if you are on a website and you're shopping for shoes and you're looking for a particular kind of shoe, you set your filter for black, and that's going to weed out all of the shoes that aren't black. And then you're going to set your filter for open toe, and it's going to weed out all of the shoes that don't have open toes. And the more filters you set, the smaller your search results become, right? We all understand that that's how filters work. Well, I got news for you. It's the same way with our environment. If you just buy a brand new red Ford Focus, you will begin to notice more Ford Focuses on the road, new red Ford Focuses on the road, because you're looking for them now. Your awareness is set to them. You have one yourself, and your filters now are switched. It's happened to all of us. We learn something new, and then all of a sudden that something new is coming at us left, right, and center. It's like, oh my gosh, I just heard about Reiki the other day for the first time in my life, and now I've probably seen it in print and heard someone talking about it four times in the last week or the last 2 days or whatever. So filters are a funny thing. So if you find yourself going, that was just a sprinkle of sugar moment. I'm only interested in the life-changing stuff. That's beneath me. That's too beneath me. I'm already past it. Basically, you're setting your filter for not enough. Basically, you're setting your filter for non-appreciation of what is. Instead of looking at the 98 things that you quote-unquote already knew, why don't you celebrate the two new things you picked up? Because that is a really good filter to get used to using. It's a really good filter to become habitual in your life. So if you have a habit of always looking for what you learned, if you have a habit for always looking for what was great, if you have a habit of looking for the cool new thing, that's a good channel of appreciation. It's a good channel for learning. It's a good channel for, it's a good filter to have in life to look for more. Because when you're on the more channel, meaning, gosh, there's always so much more to learn. Gosh, there's always so much more to do. Gosh, there's always so much more to experience. You will be on a channel vibrationally that will send more to you. So in any given moment, if you find yourself saying internally something like, I already learned this. Say, okay, that might be true, but what haven't you learned? Open your ears and say, ooh, but I've never thought of it like that before. That's cool. It's a very cool filter to get very used to having. So it's not just about the cup of sugar, the teaspoon of sugar, and the sprinkle of sugar, because they're all important based on who you are and where you are in your life. It's also about how you appreciate what you are experiencing. It's also about appreciating your sugar moments, however they come, and say, this is exactly what I need right now. This is exactly what I need right now, and I trust that. All right, everyone. So hopefully I haven't given you all too much of a sugar craving. I'm going to go have some maple syrup on pancakes or something. And thanks for tuning in. May the force be with you. Thanks for taking either a cup of sugar away from this, a teaspoon of sugar, or maybe just a grain or two. Peace be with you all. May the force be with you, and we'll catch you next time. Bye for now.